Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G., are you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Praise God. We thank God for being able to get together on another Thursday, trying to battle through this upper respiratory, whatever this thing they call is going around. Thank God that I got a little bit of a voice tonight. So we give God the praise for that. So we're going to get into the word. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G., thank God for his word that says that by his stripes we are healed. And we know all through the last 2 or 3 years, God has stepped in and healed our bodies from all kinds of sickness and manner of diseases. So we say to God be the glory. And we just have to know we have to wait on God sometimes to get us through these things. I know going through the fall and now getting ready to go to the winter, we have all kind of sniffles and coughs and colds, and the children are going through all kind of things, and hospitals are filling back up. But without a shadow of a doubt, we know that God is our healer. And so I thank God tonight that you and I, we've had some challenges since we were little kids, and know that God is the one that brings us out. I know we spent many nights hovered over the bathroom tub getting some hot vapor and Vicks and inhalers and midnight runs to the emergency room and all these things. But look at God. He brought us through another Thursday where we can lift up the name of Jesus and continue to study his word. Sheila G.
Amen, amen. And that was just a preparation for what was to come. Pastor and I were just talking about it yesterday about I asked him the question, when was the time that you can think of in your past where you had to pray your way through? And one of the things I reflected on was when I was a brand new mom with a brand new baby that at 2 weeks had asthma, talking about James. And I prayed and God got me through it. He's doing wonderful now. But had it not been for me having it and going through what we went through as young, that was God's way of preparing us for what was for to come. And then had I not gone through all that with him, panicking, not understanding, nothing, like you said, worse than seeing your child not being able to breathe, by the time Jessica came and she had a worse condition, I was a calm mother by then. So, you know, it's just amazing how God brings us through. We learn how to depend and pray through, but then it's preparing us for whatever comes next.
Amen. And Dr. G, I know you were a couple Thursdays ago, you were saying about the message that you preach, that you don't question God. And you say you might preach it for the third or fourth time, but you don't question God, and you just go ahead and preach what needs to be preached, and then somebody will come up and say, I needed to hear that today. And so sometimes when we go through things, we don't know why we're going through it, but then there comes a time where we see, sort of like what Sheila G was saying about being a calm mother now, why she was going through with James and why we were going through with our illnesses, then now we can see what the purpose of God's purpose was in our lives for us going through. Dr. G.
It's true, because we just don't understand God's ways. I mean, it would be nice if he would kind of, you know, prepare us and share with us what we get ready to go through, but that's just not his style. And we have to go through it in order to prepare us for what is to come. And that, I mean, as you and Sheila both said, that's nothing but God's grace.
Amen, amen. We thank God for his grace today, for truly his grace and his mercy has brought us through. And you know, as we look at the Word of God and you study the Word of God, and it's so relevant and prevalent in that we can look at what's going around in the world today and see how truly there is nothing new under the sun. And as I was studying the Word about how Paul was going through these different courts systems and how it takes periods of time and sometimes years for these decisions to get resolved. And, you know, I was just looking at the recent event of the politicians and religious leaders of today, of them going through courts and going through procedures where finally it seems as if their time of delay tactics, their time of going through the courts to try to get away with stuff is starting to come to a head. But it takes time, and we see with Paul, he went in an area of Jerusalem, and now he's getting transferred to Rome, sort of like going from the local court to the local Supreme Court. Now he's going up to Rome, to the high court, to have his case presented. But through every stage along the way, God was with him. Every stage along the way, every sham court, every sham decision, God was with him. It was like when we went back in that chapter 23 to that verse 11, as God spoke to Paul, he told him, I'm going to read that again, chapter 23, verse 11, the following night the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage, as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so must you testify in Rome. And so this is the thing about going through the process of going through man's system. Man has a way of creating systems that are beneficial for him. But as you go through these systems, understand that God already knows the sham. He already knows their motives. And God is our advocate. What I mean by that, and he's our Lord. He's our defender. The Holy Spirit is the one that will give us the words to say, that will guide and change the hearts and minds of people. And so as Paul is gone from Jerusalem and now he's transferred to Rome, he's on his way to Rome. He's stopping by another court. And you have to understand that God does these things in a way that he lets you know that it's nobody but God. And I think the last question that we had when we were together last was, through our experience, have we seen that God overcomes evil with good? And what God will do is he'll set the situation up where it becomes so obvious that what people are trying to throw against us, the weapons they're trying to throw against us that won't prosper are a sham, that he will get the glory. But again, we were talking about it last night. It doesn't negate the fact that, they'll use the weapons. No weapons formed against us will prosper. They'll use the weapons, but it won't prosper. And we have to go through these situations. The courts have to try to play out. The times have to play out. The issues have to play out. They have to go from court to court, to decision to decision. And as frustrating as it may be, and as long as it might think that it, we might think it takes, but all these things have to go out so that ultimately God will get the glory. And I think about Jesus when he was baptized, and he said to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist, why am I baptizing you? I never need to be baptized of you. And Jesus said, do it now, because all of the prophecy has to be fulfilled. And so all of the prophecy that was prophesied way back in the Old Testament is fulfilling itself, and you can't go around it. It has to be fulfilled so that the whole record will be known at the end, when the final judgment comes, that the record will be clear that everything God said came true, everything that God spoke of, everything how God planned it, it came true. So when the record is read, when the record is observed, that everything that God said came true, everything that God said happened the way he said it, and there is no excuse. No one will be out of excuse. And so that's why we have to go through certain procedures, certain processes. Well, why do we go through this court? Why do we go through this procedure? Why do we go to this court? Why do we have to have these forms? Why do we have to go through these? So that everything can be proved out, the record is complete, a thorough investigation, a thorough study has been done, and so when the charges are brought, the charges are thoroughly vetted, the charges are thoroughly gone through, and everybody knows that the outcome was a just outcome because the facts have been presented. And so we have to learn to be patient with God in his process, to know that he's working it out for our good, and sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's frustrating, but in the end, God will get the glory. Sheila G.
Amen, amen. You said that in the sentence, the full sentence of being patient with God, which means we have to get out of his way. I think too often we want to jump in because we're impatient and do it ourselves and fix it ourselves, and but we end up just delaying the process or making the process worse. We have to trust on the supernatural, not the natural, because in our flesh, we want to do God's job, and we cannot do God's job. We have to trust in him. We have to understand that once you're saved, that doesn't mean that your life is going to be wonderful all the time, because there's sin in this world. And because there's sin in this world, there will be weapons. But we can fight against those weapons, but we can't fight against them ourselves. We have to put our trust and faith in God, and it can't be sometimey. You know, he may provide an answer, may resolve it within a day, but to your point, he may resolve it in years. But the key is you have to trust him that as you go through, you're not by yourself. He can give you the peace and the strength to go through to the end.
Amen. And Dr. G, that's one of the hardest things is the testing of your faith when the test is longer than we want it to be. And so that's why God, in periods along the way, I always refer back to that verse 11, is that God said, this is what's going to happen. And at the end of God's earthly ministry, he and I go back to Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. He says, go ye therefore teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, he didn't say that it was going to be easy. He didn't promise that it was going to be quick, but he said, I'll be with you even until the end of the world. God said, I'll be with you. This is your assignment. This is what I want you to do. He didn't tell us how long it was going to be. He didn't promise it was going to be easy. But what he did promise that he would be with us. And so that's the challenge of our faith, the challenges back then, the challenges now. And when we have an understanding that along the way, God will encourage us to say, hey, I haven't let you down. I haven't forgot you. But I need you, like he told Paul, he said, I'm with you in Jerome, in Jerusalem. I will be with you in Rome. So go ahead and do what I have assigned you to do. And I think sometimes that's the challenge in our faith walk, is to be able to continue to walk by faith even when we don't feel like walking. Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And the key through all of that is, like you said, faith. But in order for us to have faith, just like we talked about at Sunday at church, we've got to have a real relationship with the Lord. You know, too many times, you know, people out here now, they're just going through the motions. And so as they're being tested, a lot of times too often folk are falling by the wayside, or they, you know, they walk away from the faith because somebody said something about the Christian faith, about God's faith. Who God really is. But like you said, in his word, he never promised, he never said it was going to be easy, he never said that, you know, we're going to have a soft trip. But he said, whatever you go through, I'm with you always. And if we have a serious relationship with him, we can take his words and know that God is right there with us. But until that relationship gets real, you know, we'll never know all that God can do. But if the faith is there, if the relationship is there, that faith helps us to know that whatever God says, it's going to happen. It may take a week, it may take months, it may take years, but we know that God's word is still the truth.
Amen, amen. Let's look at chapter 23 and let's see what Paul's going through. His test in Jerusalem, they try to kill him, but the word got out through Paul's sister's son, and so the local government got word of and got wind of that, and they got Paul together, where it's 40 of the I call them the oath keepers that made an oath to kill him. And then God showed up with over 200 horsemen and a detachment of soldiers and spearmen, and they got him out of there. And so now they have him going to Governor Felix, and that's Acts 23, verse 24. And I'll go back and read verse 23. It says, then he called two of his centurions and ordered them, get ready a detachment of 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at 9 tonight, provide horses for Paul so that he may be taken safely to Governor Felix. And I love that, Sheila G., that God is going to allow you to get there safely. He didn't say the journey is going to be without pitfalls. And I know I used to pray, and Dr. G, all your guys way up 95.
Yeah.
and it's some harrowing times riding on this beltway, but God would get you there safely. It was like, you never knew when it was going to be a tractor trailer. You never knew it was going to be a car, a pileup, or whatever. But God always got you there safely and got you back.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'd be upset because you'd be delayed. But then you had to reflect and say, well, if I went earlier, then I could have been in this accident. God
exactly.
Always allows you to get there safely.
Yes.
And so here Paul is getting ready to be captured by the oath keepers and the conspirators. But God allows him to get to his next destination safely. And so this was the letter that they sent with Paul in verse 25. It says he wrote a letter as follows. And verse 26 says, Claudius Lysias to His Excellency Governor Felix, greetings. And again, we talked about this last time we were together, the different factions of government that we use in the United States today that were used in Europe, that was used all over the known world at that time. It's the systems that we use today. And you can trace those governments, systems of government back to the first century. And so here we see him using a letter to send with Paul to the next court, as you will, or to the next local government to hear his case. And so in verse 27, it says, this man was seized by the Jews, and they were about to kill him. He said, but I came with my troops and rescued him, for I had learned that he is a Roman. In other words, we screwed up, but I'm going to spin it to the fact that we rescued him. And you always have this politics in these court systems where it's like, we screwed up, but I made good of it. And so that's why I wanted to send it to him. Sort of like how his letter starts off with His Excellency. You know, there's always this thing of trying to find your way. And I know we listen in on the Supreme Court of the United States and you hear the oral arguments of the different cases that the Supreme Court has decided to take up. And you always hear how the lawyers try to present a positive case to judges that have a certain bent or a certain a philosophy, and they try to talk in a certain way that will persuade them. And so here, the same type of government and the same type of courtroom setting, these oral arguments, if you will, are presented. And so he says he rescued him, and in verse 28, he said, I wanted you to know why they were accusing him, so I brought him to their Sanhedrin. In other words, they didn't say we didn't ask him first, and we beat him and took him. He skipped over that part. He said, we rescued him, and we took him to the Sanhedrin. He left that part out, buddy, but, you know, that's the way they spin stuff now. And then he goes on in verse 29 and says, I found the accusation had to do with questions about their law, but there was no charge against him that deserved death or in prison. And so in verse 23, he says, when I was informed of a plot to be carried out against the man, I sent him to you at once. I also ordered his accuser to present to you their case against him. And so here, he's trying to cover up his mess.
Yep.
That he did to pass it on to the next level court to say, this is what I did, and so that his jurisdiction and his power wouldn't be messed up. Because if Caesar in Rome finds out that there's a disturbance of the order that's on down below, then he's going to not only wreak havoc on the local, but the one underneath him as well. Sort of like this case with the former president, the judge that oversaw his case and installed a special master about these classified documents that he had in his home in Florida. And so the next court up reprimanded her and her decision.
Yep.
And so now the documents are released. And it was like, everybody's trying to cover each other, their butt and their jurisdiction, but when your stuff is messed up, you get revealed, and so now she's in hot water for the decision that she made. And so that same type of political shenanigans, I call it, it went on back then, is going on right now. COG.
Amen. And it's like every man for himself, that he's like, okay, oh, he's a Roman soldier, oh, we caused this, you shouldn't have done this. So everybody is like pointing the fingers, crossing the fingers, pointing this, that, and the other. So they want to punt it to the next level because they don't want the mess on their hands. They don't want the blood on their hands. And we see that in corporate a lot, where if one department or somebody messes something up, instead of just fessing up and going to the head and saying, look, this is what we need to do, this is what we need to do to fix it, this is what we need to do to put in place so it doesn't happen again, everybody wants to have an excuse as to why it's not me, not me, and then want to put it and punt it to another department. And that's kind of how it is here. They are like, I don't want to be stuck in the middle. He is a Roman soldier, but after we had already messed up, then we realized that, oops, we shouldn't have done that. So can you handle this for me? Can we? It was like kicking a can down the road type of thing. And we, it's no different than today. Like I said, you see that in corporate, you see that in politics. And then when stuff gets messed up, look at the politics now. Now, after the fact, after you see who wins, they start to throw each other under the bus.
Amen. And Dr. G, you see the same thing. You see the same thing in the church, and you always had this committee to jump in and mess up the church. I call it the standing committee to get rid of the ministries and the ministers. And then when it gets messed up, then everybody's pointing fingers, even though they were the ringleaders, Dr. G.
Well, you know what? I was just thinking about that. It happens so much within the church. And, you know, you sit here and you look at this mess and you're saying, what in the world is going on? And the thing is, these folks are supposed to be followers of Christ. And just like in the political arena back then, got it up here, and here we are in the church. So things really haven't changed. People are going to be people.
Yep. Not me.
Amen. There's nothing new under the sun. It truly, truly isn't. And so that was his oral arguments, his opening arguments. And so we go on in verse 31. He says, so the soldiers carrying out their orders took Paul with them during the night and brought him as far as Antipatris. And verse 32, it says, the next day they let the cavalry go on with him while they returned to the barracks. And again, while all this foolishness is going on, God is providing safe journey for Paul. He's allowing the two adversaries at the time, the Roman government who oppressed the Jews who were turning against each other, all to work in a manner where Paul was still under safety, all of them trying to cover their assets, if you will, all of them trying to be politically and religiously correct. And so you have the religious government, the religious people coming in contact with the political government. And so you have this dynamic of people say, well, religion should only go this far. People say, well, government shouldn't say this about my religion. And people say, my religion shouldn't say this about my government. And so you have this battle between church and state, as you will, in the United States that was going on back then, where the government didn't want to meddle in religious going ons, and the religions didn't want government messing in their going on. And so there's supposed to be like a separation, but they're supposed to work together. But when both of them mess up, they try to point the finger at each one of them. And so you see Paul in between a political government and a religious government trying to present the word of God to both of these folks so they understand that God is a theocracy. He's not a democracy. He is a theocracy, which means led by God, but everybody wants to perform their various means of government and religion, but nobody wants to be led by God. And so Paul is telling them, you know, this is God's plan. And so they're battling it out in the courts, in their schemes and in their plots to try to stay in power, to try to keep those that they are dealing with oppressed so they can stay in power. And that's the thing about back then and is today, is they'll put up with you. They'll allow you to have certain things as long as they stay in power. Same thing in the religious arena. As long as we have power, you know, and Dr. G, you often refer back to all these ministries and minister conferences and these bishops and all these title folks. As long as they can stay in power, they're fine. They'll put up with you. But as soon as they get ready to get found out about how they misuse and abuse people and finances, then, you know, they want to create a big stink. And so you have this dynamic of people will put up with you. They'll smile with you. as long as you allow them to stay in power. Same thing with politicians, same thing with religious leaders. But when they get exposed, that's when the issue is. And so we have that dynamic today. For people, as long as they stay in power, we'll put up with you in black. We'll put up if you're white. We'll put up if you're a Christian. We'll put up if you're a Jew, as long as we stay in power. And it's a power struggle. And that's the same thing with the Antichrist. You know, as long as he's in charge, he try to get Jesus to bow his knee to him. You know, I'll give you this, and I'll give you this. I'll give you the world. I'll give you all this. Just bow down to me, and I'll give you the whole kingdom of the world. And so we have to understand the false prophets, the false governments, and again we mentioned the Babylons in the Book of Revelation, the religious Babylon, the political Babylon that are going to end up being destroyed in the end when they try to come together and have a one world government to allow both of them to stay in power at the expense of the people that truly want to worship God. And it is coming to that, but we have to understand it through a biblical sense so we can share with other people about these governments, about these religions that are supposed to be for your good, but most of the time, I wouldn't say most of the time, but a lot of time, they are about power and people trying to stay in power, about people trying to use people as long as they stay in power, to give them just enough to say, hey, they're working it out for me, so I'm going to stick with them, sort of like rich people taking over businesses and companies and governments, and people that are poor, the poorest people on earth, are supporting them as long as they can say, well, you might be poor, but you're not as poor as them. You might be poor white folks, but at least you're not poor black folks. And, you know, so vote for me, and I'll make sure that those poor black folks never have more than you as a poor white folk. You're poor, but you're not poor and black. Sheila G.
And as you were talking, and the word that kept coming to mind is compromise. And when we start compromising God's words, compromising our character, compromising morality and principle, that's when we get into the mess, and that's what the Satan uses. It's that whole what we see, what we take, what somebody tells us, like they're God. And so you compromise and say, okay, well, we thank God for you, government, for making this law this way, and we thank God for you, come vote for us just to keep us in power, and we're going to look out for you, but we're just going to keep your money. Or, you know what, I know that we got this pandemic, and I know that it's killing people, but so that I can keep power, I'm going to tell you vaccines are bad for you, the mask is bad for you, just to be saying stuff to your itchy ears, because you're not comfortable, as opposed to standing up and saying, I know you're not comfortable with this. I know you're not comfortable with the vaccine. I know you're not comfortable. But God says that he's given us these tools to protect ourselves. Sometimes you have to stand alone. But what we find more nowadays, it's all about power and popularity. So I'm going to say and compromise God's word whichever way I need to, so I can have a gang of people follow me to feed my own ego.
Amen. Dr. G, want to chime in on that?
Yeah, you know, I agree with what Sheila G was saying. And along with popularity, it's about what we want. You know, self, our aspirations. You know, every day I get sick of looking at these politicians, you know, and it's all about what they want. And they've gotten so bad, they'll lie, they'll cheat. You know, we just seen the runoff between Warnock and Walker, and that was really a joke. Yep. And you know, it's really torn this country apart to the point where, you know, you got one facet that will put anybody and everybody up just to stay in power. But again, when God has had enough, that's when he will put a stop to it all. And I think we've seen this now. You know, here we get into the next year and the Republicans have got the House. Now, they've forgotten real quick what they ran on. talking about inflation, going to do it. They've gone after Biden's son, and they want to do this. Want to go after the January 6th committee. They want to do everything but what they promised. So, you know, yeah, it's still about power, popularity, and broken promises.
Amen, amen. And broken promises, popularity, broken promises. And again, the workings of those things is in politics and religion. In politics and religion don't always follow the policy of God. You can be a politician, you can be a religious leader, but you're not following the policies of God. And so here Paul is presenting his case. And so if we go back to the word Acts 23, and we were talking about stuff going on over here, and we got down to verse 30, 31. He says, so the soldiers carrying out the orders took Paul with them during the night and brought him as far as Antipas. The next day they let the cavalry go on with him while he returned to the barracks. When the cavalry arrived at Caesarea, they delivered the letter to the governor and handed Paul over to him. The governor read the letter and asked what province he was from. Learning that he was from Sicily, he said, I will hear your case when your accusers get here. Then he ordered that Paul be kept under guard in Herod's place. And so, again, this is a orderly hearing of cases. And so when they found that Paul was from Rome or Sicily, he, before sending it all the way up to Rome, he said, I'm going to hear the case. He said, present your accusers. So now the Jewish Sanhedrin folks have to get word that they need to come and present their case. And again, this is the type of government that we have today, as it goes from court to court to court, and everybody has to present their case. And if a reasonable outcome is not accepted, then the next court up has to say, okay, there is some grounds for us to take it up. And so here, this lower court is seeing that okay, the local folks have a legitimate argument for us to hear. Now we're going to hear it before we send it up to Rome. And so here they're hearing it, but these folks have to come to Jerusalem to Caesarea for their case to be heard. And it's a sham. Oh, my gosh, it's a sham. The way they're going to present their case about Paul and their plot to kill him. And you know, we go back to the elections of 2020 and all of those sham courts about the election being stolen and the way the election would come. And I think it was over 60 court cases where they're saying, why are you bringing this? Why are you bringing this? This nothing is legitimate. Nothing is valid. And no. And he got kicked out of court, and they call them frivolous lawsuits, and some of the lawyers got reprimanded for bringing frivolous lawsuits, and so it just gets tied up in court. And that system is the same system back then in the first century as for the 21st century, where stuff gets tied up in court. People get sick and people get tired of it. People get a disillusion that they can't live a peaceful life because somebody's always trying to sue somebody. Somebody's always trying to plot against somebody. And it just drags on and drags on. And people get wore out. People get tired of religion. People get tired of politics. People get tired of church folk fighting against church folk. People get tired of politicians fighting against politicians. And so that's just a trick of the enemy, a trick of Satan, to drag it out, to get us to weary and well-doing, to give up because it's frustrating. We get tired. We get impatient. When everybody just wants to be able to enjoy life, enjoy your family, enjoy worshiping God. But it's never that easy. It's always something. And And I laughed, Sheila, our mom, she said, you can't have nothing.
Yep.
it's like you try to have nice things, and something's always messed up, so you can't have nothing. Try to have nice stuff, try to do this, but you can't have nothing. And it's sort of like this in the vein of God. See, I'm trying to give you everything, trying to give you life and have you have life more abundant, but you're always messing up. You're always doing things to the heart, pleasing in my sight. Can't have nothing. And in so many words, going through these court cases, going through these shenanigans and these trials, and the reason that they're going through these trials is because they want to have it their way.
Yep.
And if you can't have it your way, we call it the R&R club in the church. If I can't run it, I'm gonna ruin it. You have the R&R club in the church, and you have the R&R club in the politician. If I can't run it, I'm gonna ruin it. And so it's like I have a bill that's going to say that slavery was illegal, and then this group says, "Well, since I can't bring it up, I'm gonna ruin it, and I'm not gonna vote for it because of this, this, and that." And it's just a bunch of crap, a bunch of smelly BS, because you can't have your way, and that's what our mother would say. You can't have nothing. It's like, you know, we try to provide you nice things, try to do, but you act up. You ain't got no act right. You gonna do right. You can't have nothing. And so you bring these sham accusations into the court, trying to present yourself that you can have it your way. You corrupt judges, you corrupt politicians, you corrupt preachers, you corrupt bishops, you corrupt all these people so you can have it your way. But in the end, you got to come before God. You got to come straight because you can't have it your way. Sheila G, help me out. Let me get off my soapbox.
The other thing that you said, you point the finger at one person, you got three fingers pointing right back at you. So when they point the fingers, tossing, going to court, this is yours, it's your fault, this, that, and the other, it's going to come right back at you. And Dad's expression when our babies were born, he would tell them when they would cry, this living business ain't easy.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah.
This living business ain't easy. That's why you have to trust God, because people will drive you crazy, because in 1 minute one way, depending on how they feel, and then the next day they're different. So you're literally looking at people and saying, who am I dealing with now? And let them stub their toe, or let them get a little scratch on their car, or let one little thing go, they're funky. Then they're going to lose their mind, you know, in corporate, when they would do like these restructures or reorganization, because one little thing and one little department happened, they're going to wipe it all out and start it over. We used to use the expression that you're throwing out the baby with the bathwater. In other words, instead of fixing what the issue is, instead of addressing the problem from a corporate business standpoint, corporate politics standpoint, you're just going to wipe it all and try to start over, and it's a mess. And that's the same thing here. It's like instead of trusting in God, doing it God's way, you're just going to be like, bogard your way in, and everybody's going to make their decision, and you end up throwing out the baby with the bathwater.
Amen, amen. So we go to chapter 24, and we'll see the sham trial begin. So chapter 24, verse 1, it says, 5 days later, the high priest, that's the one where Paul got hit in the mouth when he told them they were whitewashed, they were hypocrites. Now these folks that made their way, and so 5 days later, the high priest Ananias went down to Caesarea with some of the elders and a lawyer named Tertullus. So you had these lawyers today, you got these lawyers back then. So everybody got their high powered lawyer going to present their case, and Tertullus. Says, and they brought their charges against Paul before the governor. When Paul was called in, Tertullus presented his case before Felix. And he says, we have enjoyed a long period of peace under you. So here he is blowing smoke up. Felix is behind. We've enjoyed a long period of peace under you. In other words, we've been oppressed, and we can't, we're under your government and your leadership. We can't do anything unless we ask you. So now he comes, the lawyer, blowing smoke up Felix behind, talking about we've enjoyed a long period of peace under you, and your oversight has brought us about reforms in this nation. In other words, they're making their oral argument of how good Felix is. In other words, to slant Felix's decision for them to take and kill Paul. But Felix knows this, and so somewhere, I forget how far down in this chapter, Felix is in the governors, they're looking for a handout. They're looking out for a handout from Paul. They're looking for a handout from the Sanhedrin. In other words, they're looking to get paid. They're looking to get paid to slant their decision. And it's sort of like, I forget the guy's name that's on the Supreme Court. I think his name was Alito. He had a group of folk that were petitioning him for a case.
Yep.
And he had them over to the house, and they call them money, these big money people, to slant the Supreme Court justice's decision on, I forget what the case was. I'm sorry, Sheila Jill.
I said they were reasoning talking, and the whistleblower was talking about religious people that were talking to the Supreme Court guy, sucking up to him to get them to pass these laws that they wanted, quote unquote, for religious purposes, and money was flying, sucking up to the judge. Yep.
Right. The high court. And so Felix, the Sanhedrin is blowing smoke up Governor Felix is behind, so he can get his decision. And, you know, he starts out there that we have enjoyed a long period of peace under you, and your foresight has brought about reforms in this nation, and everywhere and in every way, most excellent Felix, we acknowledge this with profound gratitude. What? But in order not to weary you further, I will request that you be kind enough to hear us briefly. Now, what kind of brief is that? It's a bunch of, I'm going to leave that alone, Dr. Deagle. And people get tired of the mess. They get tired of the, and everybody knows that everybody's in cahoots, and everybody knows, look at the millions of dollars in ads that were spent in Georgia this past month.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just ridiculous. The amount of money that is spent so people can get their way. Help me out, Dr. G.
You're right. And what's gotten worse is the fact that now they're reaching out to people through emails, through text messages, begging for money. And the thing that gets me are the nasty negative ads that are put out there against the other opponent. But that shows you how far whatever side will go to get elected or to get their way. You know, morals have really gone out of the window. Telling the truth is a thing of the past. It's all about covering up, and you see how the Sanhedrin did. You know, they came in, they're going to butter Felix up. His case. And that's SOP now, that's standard operating procedure. You see it in the courts of today. So, you know, again, there's nothing new.
Amen. Suzy?
It made me think of it from the aspect of a parent. And, you know, especially if you got like a teenage boy or what have you, know they messed up. Know that you got a call from the teacher, so they got to come home and deal with you. So on their way home, they come up with a scheme.
Yep.
And I think it was one of ours one time, by the time we got home, they had cleaned the whole house. Ain't never cleaned a house before. And I think that was our oldest. And cleaned the whole house. I guess the thought was to keep us from jumping on their behind so that they could plead their case, because they knew that the teacher of the school had already called us. They knew that something was going to happen, but they just didn't know what. So to your point, they clean up the room, they straighten up, they're all nice. Can I take out the trash, this, that, and the other, so that when it does come down to, okay, you messed up, and having to plead their case to soften the blow. But that's what it made me think of.
Amen. And again, there's nothing new. It's almost comical. But this is the realm that people that don't trust God have no morals, like Dr. G said. This is the realm that they deal in. This is the world they deal in, and they deal with backroom deals. They deal with lies, schemes, and money. And
yep.
and that's what rules in the Antichrist world. When it's against God, it's anything goes. Truth going out the window, morals going out the window. It's almost anything goes, so that we can get our way and stay in power. And again, it's going to go all the way into the end of the world with these political and religious Babylon. Babylon symbolizes sin and the movement against God. And so you have religious maneuver against God, and you have political maneuvering against God. And when they try to come to this one world government in the end, then God will eventually put both of them down where he would ultimately reign over them and overcome those two factions. But they're here alive and well. It's just going to get worse. But this is how they deal. They deal with these backroom lawyers and people in charge and authority, and everybody's trying to get a little money to sway your case. And it's just that's how Washington runs. That's how these governments run. And you have legitimate people trying to run things and do things right. But those are the people that get squashed. Those are the people that get knocked down. Those are the people that get overrun or thrown out of office because they are considered unuseful to people getting their way. In other words, they have no need for you. Because they won't compromise, and
right.
And so they have no need for you. And so here, Paul is waiting to hear his trial, and here are these religious leaders coming against the political leaders, trying to resolve a godly issue, and they're not seeking God, and that's what the problem is today. Today's world. As in the world back then, is people aren't seeking God. They're seeking man's solutions instead of God's solutions. And so the religious leaders aren't seeking God. The political leaders aren't seeking God, even though they got in their courtrooms and God we trust, even though the religious leaders say they go before God every day. But ain't nobody seeking God, the true and living God, in the courtroom or in the religious setting. I'm not going to say anybody, but a lot of them are just in it for power. They're not in it for to please God. And so this is what played out back then. This is what's playing out today, is that the outcomes that we see is because people aren't seeking God, but they're seeking man. And you end up with these decisions being made by men and religious and political leaders that don't benefit the majority of the people, just benefit the powerful few. Sheila G.
Yep, and that's the thing, is people are seeking validation from man, and man does not have a heaven or hell to put you in, but that position, people look at that position as power, not realizing that power, that position means nothing unless you have God. You know, when you even look at the current religious environment that we have now, those that were really going after the power, those that were really compromising, those that were really being nasty and manipulative, found that when they came up against those that truly were praying, those that truly were trusting God,
mm-hmm.
they're losing. So God only needs the faithful few. Like you said, when you get the politicians that are like, I'm not going to compromise. Wrong is wrong. I don't care what y'all, if I lose my seat, I lose my seat. Some of them even said, okay, after this, I'm going to retire. Good. But I am not going to compromise because right is right is wrong is wrong. And what they're finding is they get these victories, and the ones that are lying, scheming, and compromising, when they lose their mind, and they look like fools. So it's like you sometimes you got to stand alone. Sometimes you got to say right is right. I'm going to trust God, but validation from man means nothing, and that's the problem. It's like everybody wants to be seen, even in the church. It's like, oh, I want to be an officer. I want to be up front. I want to be the closest one to the pastor, this power, this. But they're still just people at the end of the day. And if you don't put that trust in God and ask God to lead and God direct you, then you're just going to have a whole bunch of hypocrites sitting in a church.
My Lord. he said a mouthful. We're gonna go to the phone line, and we're gonna ask that question: how difficult is it, or to not be compromised by the things of the world? We can go to the first caller. Last four digits: 1741. 1741. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
We have to keep praying and asking God to keep our mind focused on Him and the will, what He has for us to do. A lot of times we get a little off because we want what somebody else got. We're not contented with what God has given us. And when we become contented with what God has given us and what He wants us to do, then we can stay focused on what we need to do. And regardless of what another person is doing, let them do what they're going to do, because God has given every person what He wants them to have. And, you know, you just need to be thankful, grateful, and do the best that you can do with what God has given you, because He has no respect to person. He doesn't think anymore of the pastor than He think of me. He just want my heart to be right. God just want us to be right. That's the bottom line. And I think what happened with people, they get so caught up in people and positions, and they more than what they are. They're more concerned about what man think about them than what God think about them.
Yep.
And I think, you know, you just have to keep praying, Lord, help me to stay real to You. Because if I stay real to You, then I will be real to mankind. And so you constantly have to ask God to just let His Holy Spirit guide you, keep you focused. Because it's a lot of mess going around out here. And if you're not very careful, sometimes, you know, you will think that you're on the wrong road, but you are on the right road. You know, it's very easily to get caught up following other people, you know, because it seemed right and it looked right. But you got to keep praying, stay in that word, and ask God to let His Holy Spirit guide you. Keep you humble. Keep you focused. Keep your mind stayed on Him and the things that He wants you to do for His glory, not for your glory, but for God's glory. And so... So, you know, you just have to keep that humble spirit. Ask God, keep me humble so that I can see what You want me to do. Because when I get prideful and caught up and all about me, and, you know, it's our nature to like to praise and to be big-headed and stuff like that. We got to ask God to just keep us, you know. That's just something that is with man, you know. And it doesn't matter who we are or what we are, you know. Any of us, it can happen to anybody. So that's why you have to keep praying, asking God, help me to keep my mind focused on You, keep me humble and meek, wherein I can hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Keep me in Your word, leading me and guiding me, because it's not about me. In the end, it's not about me. It's only what I do for Christ is going to last.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller, line 4 digits 7611. 7611, good evening.
Good evening. Praise the Lord for that.
Good evening.
I it's kind of hard to say something, but the fact that I get angry and say something and I regret and I'm sorry, then that God has been good to me and I get out of place where I'm supposed to be, not supposed to be, and say the things I'm not supposed to say. But I am wrong in mind, and I be asking God to forgive me for everything I'm thinking and doing the wrong and saying the wrong thing. But I be so, I just get a knot in my throat, and I know I be trying to say I'm sorry, but I slip and I slap on off this deep end, and I just get tired, and I said, thank you, Father, for being so good that you have brought me a mighty long way, and I've gotten this far, and you didn't bring me this far to leave me and walk off and leave me just like that without helping me all this time. You've been doing it so good. And I get shame to even admit and say something to you, let you know that I was thinking the same thing that you be talking. And I try to stay on the right track and knowing God said, be still. And that's all the thing I can say for him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 67. I'm sorry. Last caller is 1411. 1411. Good evening.
Amen. Good evening. Good evening. Yeah, great question. Being compromised, it's very difficult because the compromise of what's offered plays on the very things that we covet, that we think we want. It plays on our insecurities and unhappiness. You know, when people offer you fame, riches, money, cars, you know, women, men, whatever it is you wanted, it's your every heart's desire, but you have to also understand, too, at what cost. You know, no matter who's being compromised, whoever's the one presenting the offer normally also ends up controlling you, so you lose yourself in that equation as well. But, you know, the world we live in, and, you know, a lot of the previous callers had touched on it, it's just like it's a competition. It's who's doing what, who's got the biggest this, who's got more money, who's driving the fastest car, the nicest car, who's got the biggest house, the biggest church, the largest congregation. And, I mean, it becomes so competitive that we actually play into it, and it becomes a distraction, mm-hmm. and we lose sight of the fact that, hey, it's okay being in the process. Delay is not denial. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean that some type of success won't. But if you rush it or you jump out there too soon, you actually put yourself further away from God and the message of God and what it is that we need to learn and understand about being children of the Lord. You know, it is tough, and we all have our own insecurities and things that we struggle with daily. I mean, I can't imagine no one waking up and saying, man, is this my life? This is not what I planned on being. If you'd asked me 10, 15 years ago, I should have been further along. And those are the things that the devil and the world try to play on to get you to do things that are going to put you further away from God. And here's the other thing I want to let you know. People who have that stuff still aren't happy.
Yep.
Exactly. You may temporarily be happy, but guess what my man Biggie said? More money, more problems, and it couldn't be truer.
Yep.
And if you've noticed, too, a lot of people who hit success, whatever you want to deem that as, money, fame, riches, those who didn't go through the process, but those who hit it quicker, it's not sustainable, and they're not able to last it. In a few years after gaining all of that, they lose it all. Most of them turn to drugs or commit suicide because guess what? They skipped the process. They didn't have to work for it. They didn't have to have those sleepless nights and dark days and sacrificing and a whole process to say, hey, when I finally get this and God unleashes his blessing on me, I'm ready for it because I got a story. I got a starting point. I got memories and things to hold on to show that I was ready and I trusted the entire process. But we live in that microwave society. We want it now. But also keep in mind, what's for you is for you. Don't worry about the next man. Don't worry about the next woman. If you got a relationship with God, you have to focus on that, because if you lose sight of that, you lose sight of yourself. You lose sight of your soul. And then before you know it, you're deeper in that rut than you've ever been before. But temptation and compromise is very difficult because it's something in this society we're always surrounded by. We're always reminded of it. But that's why we have to get embedded in the word, because no matter how strong you are in Christianity, and I know you guys have been in this game much longer than me, temptation still attacks you. It still plays on your mind and wears on your spirit. So let's just be clear. Temptation is going to be a constant. Compromise or the threat of being compromised is always going to be a constant. It's never going to go away. If you're living in this world and you leave your house every morning, we're surrounded by it. So you have to build that foundation. You have to make sure that you have the necessary tools around you to help combat that, because it's spiritual warfare, but it's just as mental as well. And, you know, if somebody gets a hold of your psyche and they don't let go, you're going to have a tough time for the rest of your days. But we have to continue to be embedded in that word so that we know that the enemy knows that we cannot be compromised, not being children of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 8760. 8760. Good evening. 8760. All right, let's be listening in. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 0266. 0266. Good evening. You know, 266 must be listening in. All right. Well, Dr. G, that's going to do it for us tonight. Your final comments and closes out in prayer, please.
Sure. Well, I think as everyone has said, you know, we have to really focus on God and let him be the one that leads, guides, and directs our path. You know, we live in a world where you see so much compromise go on, and you can tell that these folks don't have God in their life. There's a time and a place for everything, but as Christians, as followers of Christ, we got to be led by the Lord. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for just one more time. Father, we pray right now that you would guide us along this old path. Help us, O Lord, to know the truth and then to live by the truth. Father, we're praying. We thank you for these that have called in tonight, and we pray that this lesson has been a blessing to them. Father, prepare us for tomorrow, if it's your will, and let us go through tomorrow and do what we have to do. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We ask it all right now in the precious name Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerful, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.